Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Paranormal Saloon. I'm your host, Jay Hill. It's been a hot minute since I've been on here. I've got a great show for you tonight. The documentary crew of Evil Unearthed. I watched it. I was pretty intrigued by it. And there were parts in there that were kind of unsettling. And I'm not going to lie, it was kind of creepy, you know. The way they did the documentary, I kind of got some ideas from it. I mean, it was like really inspiring. So, but I loved the way that the way it was done was just I can't even describe. I can't even talk. Holy crap. It's been a while since I've been on, so I guess I'm maybe just a little bit tired, but I've been working a lot lately. But Matt Benton did a fantastic job in directing this and putting this together, and Joe and Helena, and yeah, it's just, well, enough of me talking. Let's get these guys on. And boom, boom, boom. And of course, Matt. All right, thanks guys for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah. And you know, I must say that when I watched that video on Amazon, I didn't know what to expect. And to be honest with you, I was really taken by the way you guys, the shots that you guys had in that documentary were, I mean, I try to be, you know, I'm trying to be somewhat of a documentary person myself, but man, I'm like, shit, I don't even know if I could even accomplish some of that. Cause some of those shots were great, you know?
Oh, nice.
I mean, I was just like, so, but this is an ongoing thing. This is, I watched this and it was like, you know, back in 2017, and it's taken you a while to compile all this and to get this together, that had to really put a dent in your life.
Well, in the beginning, it was supposed to be a different documentary. And then at the time, I didn't have the right amount of equipment. I didn't have the right amount of experience, I should say, in documentary filmmaking during the time I started filming it. And then when we started uncovering more and more about the house, that's when I was like, okay, this should be its own film because of it has its story. It seemed like a story that should have been told onto television, I believe. So, and then I had some stuff that wasn't out there yet. And when it came to the television side of things, they didn't have the stick figure video out there. They didn't have the possession audio out there. And we also had the person that did the rituals. So that's like, it's three different things that was like very big deal. I felt like that, and also we're the only ones that actually put out, and at least that I've seen in a video format of the actual documents supporting the history instead of like just saying, because there's a lot of speculations and a lot of rumors out there that are just not true. So that's why same with our last film, The Harrisville Haunting, we are very big about getting our history proper in this film and our films. So
Right. I mean, in this, when I was watching that, and you know, I was listening to some of the audio, and when the possession one came across, and I was like, there's another place, another audio that I heard that resembled that, and I can't say where, but it was almost identical, and I was like, oh, shit.
Maybe Justin
and
Brown.
That was disturbing.
maybe Justin Brown, because Justin Brown has a he's used the audio, but it wasn't on television. So, but he used it on YouTube video of his. Yeah, he's him and I were the only ones that actually had access to that audio. So until and so now it's going to be on for everyone. Now millions of people get to watch it.
So let me go, Elena. What did you think when Matt brought this to you and said, "Here's what we're gonna do," or "Here's what I'm doing. This is what I'm thinking." What were your thoughts about this?
So originally, I was supposed to be in a music video, which was shot at the location, but plans changed, and then Matt was like, "You know what? Do you want to like be part of the investigation too? You know, be part of the documentary?" And of course, I was scared, kind of nervous, because I heard a lot of things about this location. I'd never been there before, but of course, I was like, "Hell yeah, I'm in."
So you basically kind of just said, "Yeah, I'm going to do it." And then once you got into doing it, did you realize, or did you think to yourself, "What did I get myself into?"
Yeah, a few times, but but something good came out of it. Like, you know, Matt and I, you know,
she caught an attachment.
An attachment, permanent attachment.
Yeah, actually, Helene and I—that was our first time meeting.
Yeah.
Oh,
was at the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
There are no coincidences. So, you know, that's, you know, and, you know, I've seen you guys, the pictures of you guys together. And yeah, kudos to that. You know, you guys look like a good couple, you know. So
thank you.
Thank you.
But I will get to ask Joe. I'll ask Joe the same question. What were you thinking when you first came across this property?
Well, I've been to the house quite a few times before the documentary. I think it's a better question to ask, what did you think when you first met Matt? Because that's where I first met Matt.
We'll go with that question.
No, it was funny. It's sort of like this ongoing joke, but literally the first time I actually seen Matt, you know, he had this car, like you could, like, you just couldn't hide the fact that he was into the paranormal. Like, just all kinds of stuff littered all over his car that had something to do with the paranormal. And he gets out, leather jacket, hat, and I look over at the other person I was there with, and I'm like, "The hell does he think he is, Zach Bagans?" And like I said, I've been to the house many, many times, and there are times where it's quiet, nothing goes on. I mean, honestly, I was kind of nervous filming this, because again, sometimes you go to a location and it has a tendency not to just not do anything, just be very, very quiet. But you know, we got lucky. Plus, we've got years upon years of footage of that location. So go ahead, Matt.
No, it was about the what happened there that wasn't caught on camera, which was the first time we were there. First time I was there with Joe. There was the upstairs light that turned on, and we couldn't even figure out how it turned on. So it was like we were like looking everywhere. And then we found out that it was actually on the lamp thing itself. So something turned that lamp thing on, which is crazy. Right. So and that's what I keep going. That's what I wanted to add. So
yeah. And it's not easy to turn that light on. It's like we had no clue how it turned on. And then when we figured it out, we're like, that takes a lot to turn on. Like, it's just not something simple.
Yeah.
And same with the door. That heavy ass door that I saw. Oh my gosh. I got super lucky. Popped open, I was like, holy crap. And then when you said that it was locked, I mean, now, Joe, have you ran into open doors like that since you've investigated in there before? I mean, have you come across things like
that? I've had That happened, except
okay,
a door slamming shut. And this has happened two or three times. We weren't
it's
filming.
The one in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was the one in the kitchen, which is now sealed up. So I'm at the location investigating, and it was the second day that I was there with these other two investigators, and we're upstairs, and I hear slam. I'm like, the hell was that? Good shook the house.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, oh, that was just a car door. I'm like, no, there's no way. That shook the house. That came from mm-hmm. in the house. Well, come to find out, went downstairs, and it was this kitchen door. Now, the first day that actually happened, but it didn't slam shut. We were setting up cameras in the basement, and we came back up, and the door shut. Now, we wouldn't shut the door because we have cables running through there for right. one of the cameras. Right. And it was shut. Like, okay, that's weird. I've experienced that. And there were other things, too, that have been experienced in that house. So I think when it comes to a location, like and specifically a house, the Monroe House is probably the most, like, it is the weirdest freaking place mm-hmm. I have mm-hmm. ever investigated.
I think I could say for a house, I think it might be the most haunted house I've ever investigated. Oh, never mind. Mac and Mansion was pretty up there too. But those two would be like my two top houses. I would say
I would say the Bitten Farmhouse, but you know, when we went there, nothing happened.
Yeah, it doesn't have to all the time though, because like the Mackie Mansion, I've been there like three or four times, and only one of the times was dead. The rest of the times we had activity. So it's like, it really depends. So.
Right. Well, I mean, some of this stuff that, like, when I was watching on the show, on the documentary, did you ever come across something that when you, like, there's something in the kitchen. Like, when I was watching that, there's scenes in the kitchen. Now, because of who I am, being a psychic medium, and even when I watch certain TV programs or even, like, documentaries or something like that, and because of the fact that I was vested in watching this because I wanted to know the details of this program and what the history is and all this stuff, I got a really bad headache. I mean, and I don't get headaches, and I was just, it was really kind of disturbing, especially when I heard that baby cry. Oh, yeah. In the kitchen when nobody was there, and that was kind of unsettling. So there were moments in that whole place, especially the kitchen. I don't know what it is about the kitchen, but there was something in the kitchen. Every time you would see I would see a shot in the kitchen, it would just, I'd have this like pain in my head.
Well, when I was doing Man vs. Paranormal, that's where I heard most of the noises, was in that kitchen. mm-hmm. I was hearing like little like movement sounds or footsteps or dragging sounds. Like, and I have the door shut, so that main room where we have our equipment and everything, that's where I was sleeping during Man vs. Paranormal. And when I was like trying to go to sleep, I would just hear like shuffling or something like that in the kitchen, which was weird.
Right.
And between the kitchen and there's another room that connects to the basically, it's a connection to what we call the blue room, and then you have the basement door, and then a bathroom. Yeah, footsteps. Like, just random footsteps. And Dawn and I have experienced that. A lot of people have experienced that. So I don't know. It's a weird spot, but also, like, it's weird because people will go there and say, you know, oh, you know, upstairs in this bedroom was pretty active, and it kind of seems to stay that way for a while, and then it kind of like switches elsewhere, like to a different like part of the house.
I think the most active spot of the house mm-hmm. for us, at least, was the blue room.
Yes,
something's wrong. Okay, something's up with that blue room.
Yeah, something's up with that room.
Okay, now let's kind of shift gears a little bit. Let's get into the Estes method.
Oh yeah.
That mask is sick.
Yeah,
it's I'm terrifying.
That is like, oh yeah.
You know, I had it.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that. I was like, did he just really put that on? I was like, oh my God, you know,
BDSM. I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
Right. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I mean, anybody that just turned down that TV or turned it on or came in the room and saw that, like, what the hell? You know,
we just forgot the handcuffs, but, damn it.
No, but I mean, that whole, those, both of those Estes methods from the upstairs and in the basement. The basement was really kind of odd. I want to talk a little bit about that because in the beginning it started out really kind of dark, and then it was almost like somebody turned on a light switch and all of a sudden it was all about being positive.
Yeah, that was interesting.
You know, saying prayer or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was a shift.
What were all of your takes on that?
I know what my opinion, because it was a spiritual, actually, yeah, you're right. It wasn't just my feelings. It was also the, what was going through, coming through. I think it was more of maybe this is just theory and opinion. This obviously doesn't, there's no factual information about this, but I felt like it was either a, like it, some kind of angelic or spirit guide type energy that was coming through during that moment. Because when he started doing the prayers in the basement at the end, I didn't even know he was saying prayers, so I had those headphones blasting in my ears. And that's like, things shifted during that moment. And I felt something come over positive. And it was interesting that I didn't know he was like doing the prayers during the moment too. So it was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool when reviewing back. That was the coolest part. Dude, when I first was watching this whole thing, I was getting the chills at certain times because I didn't know, was being said. And I didn't know my body language was matching up with what was being said.
Upstairs, your body language to Helena was just
creepy. Oh, I mean, my God. Yeah, I mean, and I was laughing in this moment, but like that was nervous laughter.
That was a nervous laugh.
I was actually scared. I would agree,
but
actually, that's a good moment right there in that aspect, because there's always these people out there that think, people that are in the that aren't paranormal investigators, and they think everything's fake. Like her reaction is pretty that's genuine. Yeah.
And it didn't happen just once or twice. I mean, it was like several times that you looked at her and she
moved positions.
Like, just
I did.
Yeah, just stopped.
And she moved positions, which was very strange.
Right.
Yeah.
Talking about that.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I think what was happening during that Estes method was likely the same thing, just switching, like playing basically a different role, like kind of messing with us. I mean, again, just what I think, my opinion, but I think whatever it was probably the same thing, just kind of playing along with the whole thing that was happening with the prayer and stuff like that.
Right. And even, you know, having that upstairs, I mean, doing that Estes upstairs, there was just something about, I don't know, it was just the energy that I could tell that all of you guys had were around. I mean, I could just see it. It's just electric. You know what I mean? And now, how many times, let me go back. So, Matt, have you done different Estes?
Yes.
Methods up there?
The thing is, up there. No, not really. No, not there for again. It was only that basement and that one time up there. But I want to say that I've done many Estes sessions in my life, and that was by far the best Estes session I've ever had. Most of the time, I don't get anything good from Estes. Mostly it's just jumbled, like random ass words that don't mean anything is usually what it is. And then maybe a couple things that matches here or there. But I've only had like two accurate Estes sessions in my entire time I've been using it. So that's saying something, because usually it seems it doesn't work for most of the time until the Monroe house. And then one other time it worked here. So it was like this was the creepiest one, though, for sure. The number one when it comes to creepiest.
Yeah. So I will say that, you know, you guys have merch.
Yes.
right?
It's okay. It's in the. You go on the YouTube channel links. I should also promote it on the Facebook page. But if you go to the trailers of the film on YouTube under Paranormal Research Unit, mm-hmm. there's a link that says "Evil." There's Evil on Earth merch there. So.
Okay. But what I was really going to say is you need to market that mask.
You know what's funny? It's a friend of mine's
Seriously.
Mask.
Seriously.
So it was a friend of mine's mask. And then when I saw it, I was like, that's when the idea popped in my head. I was like, oh, my gosh. Red lights.
Yeah.
Estes
yeah.
session.
Right.
Black out the eyes. This is yeah. going to look cool and creepy. And it
does. Gives it,
yes. And on top of that, it also gives more claustrophobia feel. So when you, because I've also been handcuffed with them before, and so when you have the mask on, and the headphones and handcuffed, it's like it's a different feeling. Because I am a adrenaline seeker or in some ways, and mm-hmm. since the paranormal doesn't scare me in any ways anymore, I need something to have a little bit more heightened in my senses, I guess, and
something
that helps
gives out. You that spark. Yep. No, I get it.
Yeah, something that gives me that
I
spark.
Get it. Helena, so have you always been involved or, you know, had a passion for the paranormal, or is it just something new to you?
So, it first started, well, I always had, but my whole life I had some sort of, experiences, you know, I lived in a haunted house and everything, but I think the spark started like 3-4 years ago. I started watching YouTube, mm-hmm. paranormal YouTube, and slowly I just started doing it myself, like, you know, getting to like going like paranormal tours, you know, going to haunted places, you know, and yeah, basically it just started. I'm very new to this. I've been doing YouTube videos 3 years now, I think. Yeah, okay. So I'm still right. a rookie, but you know,
right.
I'm learning new things on every investigation.
New
yeah,
things.
And I learn a lot right. from these guys. And now I'm part of PRU, and
right.
It's definitely honor to be part of such a like group or team. That, you know, it's just about the truth, no faking, and like mm-hmm. takes it so seriously.
Right.
And I think it's
right.
amazing.
Hey,
yeah.
Joe. So let me ask you, I mean, you've been in the paranormal field for quite a long time. Is there anything new recently that you've tried or that you have an idea for that would enhance your paranormal investigative abilities?
There are a lot of things that I have tried. Honestly, I think just the old school way of doing things, honestly, it's the best way to do it. I don't have to worry about lugging all kinds of crazy gadgets and trying to like rely on, because you can't rely on, you know, this stuff. It, mm-hmm. false positives. You know, a REM pod goes off, you're like, okay, but what is it? You know,
right.
I mean, yeah, like Dawn and I, for example, normally I wouldn't, you know, do the Estes method, but from time to time, Dawn and I will give it a try. But really, we only do that when that's the claim, right? We go to a location and
I just want to confirm something with you, Joe. I just want to confirm something with you. When you do the Estes method, how often you get anything actually accurate?
Like, not like
exactly
not,
that's what I'm saying,
and like really anything, to be honest. There've been
like what would you say the percentage of that is? So, what a lot of people don't think, you know, they think that it's like, oh, yeah, you get it all the time, and I've done it, and that's not even the case.
The issue with the YouTube videos out there, most of the YouTube videos out there, they keep reaching, making everything trying to make
connecting
sense.
Connecting dots,
yeah, connecting dots thing. This one was different, had weird body language. And some of them were, this is the most consistent it's been, like, accurate. So, yeah, like I said, I've done it many times and only had two that were pretty accurate. And all the others were just, like, random. And then some lucky ones, which I don't count those ones because it has to be consistent. mm-hmm. where I feel like it's legitimate. And so, yeah, but that's just also, there's no, it's also not evidence. It's not real evidence.
Right.
It's just, if you believe it, you believe it. But personally, I believe in the Monroe House situation, I do believe it.
And one of the things that Don and I are going to, I mean, not that we haven't, but going to start doing far more often when we go to investigate is, you know, to really split up from one another just to see what happens. A lot of my investigations, like before I met Don, I was by myself. I was mm-hmm. like, I would book a location and I'm there by myself. And quite not, like, not a lot would happen. Like, if something happened, I'm like, holy crap, you know, like, wow, finally.
Right. And you were by yourself, so you had nobody to turn to and say, hey, oh there's nobody here.
Just me and my cameras and my digital right. recorders. That's right. it.
You know what's funny? There's one SS method that I did back in 2017 at the Revenant Acres. It was my first time ever doing it. And I don't remember the session. So I do have the footage on it. So I might just rewatch that session to see if that one was accurate. But that was my first time ever doing it before it was all popular on YouTube.
Like once in a great while, some interesting stuff comes through the SS method. But then again, you like, is trying to connect the dots here, you know, kind of thing. We were, Don and I, we were at the old hospital on College Hill. And one of the claims there was, or not even a claim, I mean, this legit happened. But anyways, a guy shot another officer. They caught him. Dude ended up in the hospital. He got shot in the arm. And he, I guess he wanted to escape. And he jumped out of the window, hit pavement. Still lived through it. So one of the claims is that, you know, people, you know, like see this guy or hear this guy, but there were police there at that point in time. They were watching him, and we heard what sounded like a police radio come through during one of Don's assessments. Now I didn't hear it at the time. Mm-hmm. Don did. Going back and watching the footage, I'm like, how did I not hear that? Because that was loud. Like, mm-hmm. that was crazy loud. How could I not hear that? But it came through on the SS method. Now, I don't know what that was, but it was just weird right. that it happened.
Now, do you guys think that there's, I mean, we all know that everything is energy and frequency, and especially in the paranormal, I mean, that, you know, anything can happen on any given day, that sometimes locations can be haunted, you know, act like it's got a poltergeist. Then there's other times where you get nothing. You know, and it's like that's paranormal the biggest, doesn't show up when it, you know what I mean, on demand. It's right. just, it's a roll of the dice.
That's why it took 7 years of documenting that place.
Yeah, and that's what I've always believed, and I told people, I'm like, you can't just, you know, they're like, well, how do you do this? You know, you go to a location, and it's so, and it's like, when I went, it wasn't haunted. When I go here to this other place, that was haunted. You know what I mean? So it's just, so there's so many different things that, when you're investigating, it's just not about investigating. It's about learning what causes that investigation. You know, what causes that paranormal. You know, what can, like you talked about your the cop's radio. Now, to me, residual energy somehow
could very well be
attached itself somewhere. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't think it was like, in my opinion, it could be noise, but it's just. There's a lot of residual energy around. And I'm sure that, you know, when you guys walked through the Monroe House, I'm sure you guys ran into a lot of residual energy. I'm sure that you kind of picked and choose, yeah, that's probably residual, or that's something that we can't explain. Did you ever run into that?
At the Monroe House, I would say that the personal experiences of the people, like the connection that we made with one of the past abuse that possibly happened there. And so mm-hmm. based off the news articles and everything that I showed in the film, and then that situation mm-hmm. happening with, she wasn't the only one, but she's the only one that I have recorded myself. I've heard of it happening to other people too, but it was with Maddie that was affected there in that way of, and she even says that it felt like abuse and in her own words. And mm-hmm. so, that was intriguing because that's actually the history of the house. Apparently there was abuse that took place there from both.
Right. It backs up that claim.
Yeah. It backs up the claim. And so, which is interesting because most people, it's been rumored and everything, but it's never been confirmed on film on TV until now. So based off of the news articles, there was a blogger that I did find on the internet that did do the proper research on the Monroe House, and that was in there, but it's not on television for everyone to see. So it was the first time, yeah. And we also did, Joe and I did a lot of research, and also my brain's going, like, Karen information from
that we actually so Karen definitely helped, and Kenny Biddle, you know, he gave a little bit of information that didn't have.
Kenny's awesome.
You know, one of the things that I find interesting is people's moods when they go to the house. Like, I'll go to the house, everything can be fine, but then all of a sudden my anxiety level just shoots through the roof. While I was doing an interview, I'm just sitting there, and one of our guys, you know, he was asking me questions, and I literally wanted to punch him in the face. And I even straight up told him, I'm like, dude, I want to punch you in the face, like, for no reason at all. I'm pissed off at you. And that's kind of a thing that happens there. And I've seen firsthand other people, like, get upset with people for, like, the dumbest reasons ever. It's like, why would you be upset? That doesn't even make sense. So you can definitely, whatever is there is very manipulating. And, you know, it's a psychological haunting, I believe, anyways. My opinion.
Yeah, right. I agree.
So when you guys did the research, you and Joe, did you guys come across where you were, yeah, this is bogus, this is just a rumor? How many times did you run into the rumors where people said, oh, that's got to be real?
We couldn't find anything confirming, let's say, the apparently a baby was buried in the crawl space. There's no, like, documentation or anything factual about that. So,
there were rumors of somebody. I have to be careful because it's YouTube. We'll say self-deleting themselves in the house. There was nothing to confirm that.
Yeah, there's none of that in the house.
There was another story about a guy who, living there and set the dog on fire or something like that, and ended up the smoke inhalation or something like that. Ended up taking the life of a kid. Like, there's none of that.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, what we put in the film is the facts.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was just saying we put in the film.
A lot of it. Yeah. Right. A lot of that too, though, is with, especially with YouTube, and I've seen some other ones, different YouTube videos of different paranormal teams or different, you know, where they swear that this is what happened and that's what happened. And even if I researched it, I'm like, yeah, no, that didn't happen. So have you guys into a lot of that pushback all that?
You're breaking up.
Yeah,
sorry.
You're breaking up, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I mean, you guys had that pushback? I mean, where you're basically just saying, you know, all these people are, you know, kind of trying to discredit you.
I think that, so, like, yeah.
I'm sorry.
If you go on IMDb, like, for our first film, you have so many haters of people in the paranormal. Just don't believe at all. So they're just, they just think it's all fake and everything. So the thing is, the paranormal, I don't think there's any, like, big paranormal film that doesn't have a lower rating just because there's so many people that don't believe in the paranormal. And then also people that think everything's fake. So you have those two issues at that side. So basically, this film is more for the fans and the people that are interested in the paranormal. So that's basically what it's meant for. And so far, you know, it's funny. No one's the only people that have complained about the length of the film have been the ones that are the they don't believe or not 100%, and also they're not the normal paranormal moviegoer. And so, yeah, so this was meant for the fans of the paranormal.
I will say this. when it comes to doing research, when we, like, if I see a YouTuber at the Monroe House, and they're like, oh, this happened here. And it's like, no, this did not happen. yeah, people don't like that because they're like, oh, this person did their research. Like, no, that obviously they did not. I know there was a big YouTuber who went to the Monroe House and talked about a child being like, you know, oh, a baby was, you know, buried in the crawl space. And, you know, my fiance Dawn's like, no, that did not happen. Like, no, that's not real. And then they blocked her and said, you know, he does his research. This guy does his research. And then there are people, and I'm only going to, I'm going to touch on this briefly here, who give you all kinds of information on their history, and you go look, come to find out it's wrong. And when you say something, well, then they want to sue you. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Right. Yeah, there's also...
That is kind of more happening more now than it used to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because now people are getting businesses out of just getting their location for investigators because of YouTube. YouTube is like really changed things, I feel like, to where like a lot of YouTubers are making this a lot more popular. Now you're seeing a lot more fictional stories coming out and over.
And everything's a demon.
And everything's a demon in every single episode. thing about this location, we actually have physical evidence to back up the claims, like the ritualistic items that were used.
So, because he opened something that, because I caught wind of that when I was not even the very beginning of that documentary. I was like kind of looking into the house a little bit. I didn't want to kind of look into too far, but. Yeah, he opened something there. He messed with something that he shouldn't have. And that made me unsettled. And I've seen and seen a lot of different things and experienced a lot of different things on the from the dark side of that. And that made me unsettled. So I was like, yep. So,
this house was meant to be unsettling in that film.
Right. So let me ask you, I'll start with Helena. How, after being away from this house, has there been anything that's bothered you? I mean, have you had mood swings or have you, you know what I mean? Has it kind of changed your demeanor in some way?
That's funny you say that. So I don't know if it has something to do with the house or not. I've been just hearing from a lot of people that there is something that will follow you home and cause issues and everything. So that's a possibility. There is a lot going on in my life, you know, so I don't know really, but I do believe something may have affected some parts, but yeah. I don't know.
It's kind of like if you look at it as it's kind of like being stung by a bee, and then it's there for a little bit and it's kind of annoying or it itches or whatever, and then it kind of goes away. And that's kind of what I think of, like, attachments, you know, or things, or kind of like something that's affected you when you've been in a haunted location. And it's kind of like getting that smell of a bonfire on you for a little bit, and it eventually will just dissipate. Now, Joe and Matt, have you guys experienced anything since you've been to that house?
I don't get attachments really that I know of anymore. When I first started investigating, that's when I felt like I've had things follow me home. But after three years of doing it, it kind of like stopped, and I don't have attachments anymore that I know of.
So for me, I've had a couple weird things happen after leaving the home. And again, my fiance was a witness to one of those things. Did it have anything to do with the house? I don't know. Maybe it was a coincidence. But I was at her place, and it just felt like something was just stuck in my throat. And I was trying to cough it out. And it was just like this black, like, frothy stuff that I was coughing up, and like chunky too. And apparently I wasn't responding to Dawn when that whole thing was going on. I don't know if it had anything to do with Alice or not, but that's never happened to me before, and it's never happened again. And then just sitting where I'm at right now, and then I have a dresser, and there was just a cup there, not a glass cup, but just a cup. And it would just come off the dresser, just randomly. It wasn't at the edge of the dresser or anything like that, but it would come flying off. I'm like, okay. And I just, whatever. I kind of ignore it. It's like, okay, that's weird. Huh. Whatever. Kind of thing.
Right. It's kind of a normal thing. You'd be surprised at what some people get used to, you know? And that people would think, oh, that would scare the crap out of me. It's like, yeah.
I think if I put more focus on it, maybe it would have gotten worse. But I'm like, right. Whatever.
Right. Now, would you think that where you live is your location that you live in? Does that have any activity?
No. I mean, the room that I'm in, there used to be a lady that lived here with her son-in-law and daughter. She actually died in this room, but never, like, not haunted.
Right. What about you, Matt? Have you been someplace where you lived someplace that's, you know, been somewhat haunted?
I wouldn't say haunted, but I would say that I've had personal experiences there, and I think it's, like, random. I think that there's, like, everyone has random paranormal experiences in their lives, and so I feel like that's what it was. It was just random things. It's, like, I call them, like, passing through entities, whatever. Yep. It's weird. I don't really know, to be honest.
Or a reminder of why you do it.
It's like, yeah. Yes, you're supposed to do this. Yeah. Stop doing that.
You're questioning it.
Somebody needs to go remind Matt.
I feel like I was meant to do this kind of work, though. And my whole beginning of my life kind of led up to this moment, to be honest. Same with my passions too, all coincides. Like since high school and in middle school, my favorite subjects were science and history. And now kind of like, and then later down the line. Right. And also I was also reading a whole bunch of books about the paranormal when I was younger. And had a lot of personal experiences of shadow people when I was younger. And that's actually why I got this tattoo, of the shadow person. And then the old washout is what sealed the deal.
When I was younger, right. And I tried to find books on ghosts and stuff like that. First off, it was only at school, and the librarian was like, you know, that stuff isn't real, right? That's just silly make-believe stuff. Didn't have the internet, none of that stuff. And I was so embarrassed. I'm like, do you got any books on ghosts, like real ghosts? Because at that point in time, you know, I did live in a place that was haunted, and it was not fun. But I wanted to know more about it. Like, I wanted to try to understand it. And so, you know, try to find books in the library on ghosts. And, you know, the closest thing I could get to ghosts was, like, you know, some sort of, like, Charlie Brown Halloween or something like that. I did.
I love that.
Yeah.
Cartoon.
And I thought I had found a book on ghosts, but it was called The Black Death. And I learned an awful lot about the plague.
Yeah, in the early 2000s, because that's when I was in high school. not high school. In middle school and elementary and all that. There was those books around, but then again, Ghost Hunters kind of made it popular at the time. So when Ghost Hunters came out in 2004, that's when it started gaining popularity. The TV shows is what gained the popularity back, and then people weren't so crazy anymore. For having stories and stuff like that. So, So that's the one good thing I would say about the TV shows is that it seemed to open up more people. But then I would say the bad things is that some of the shows and some of the YouTubers have now created this whole thing to where it's more entertainment based and not anything real paranormal research related.
It's a money machine right. for them.
Yeah.
Right, right. And that's the way they'd look at it. And that's the way a lot of, but I think a lot of people now are starting to kind of realize that we want to know the real truth. We don't want to see this entertainment. It's like
this is where we come in.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, it's kind of like, it's just, you know, it's kind of like overkill. And then some of these people that have been watching that for a long time have like, you know what, I really want to know what's behind this. And so then they turn on, you know, your documentaries or, you know, even some of the other programs that are on, even on Amazon or whatnot. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I think that things are changing, you know. But I will tell you, when I was in grade school, and I'm not going to say the year because that was a long time ago, but when I went to the library, I came across a book called Ghosts by Daniel Cohen. And it was a Blue Jack cover, and it wasn't very thick, but it had great ghost stories in it. And I was third grade, and then I was hooked on reading after that. I read everything I possibly could. I went to the library to find books on ghosts, you know. So, and not to mention the fact that I've also lived in several haunted places, but yeah, it just, it's not a matter of if you're following the paranormal, it's more like that. Paranormal follows you, you know, and
calling.
You kind of look at.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, like, you know, again, for me at school going to the library, I also had to be careful because, you know, like my grandmother on my mom's side of the family, super religious. No, ghosts aren't real. It's all demons. It's demons pretending. And, you know, which she, quite honestly, she terrified. She did not make the situation that we were in at the house any better, to be honest. Like, it was not fun.
Right. Yeah, I mean, when you've got religious people in your family like that, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, we weren't growing up really religious, but I know that firsthand, you know? That, you know, people tell me, close people tell me, family tell me, you die, you go to heaven, that's it. And I'm like, I wish it was that easy. For the majority it is, but there's that so many different small percentage that's not.
Well, I always say to people, what does it say? And not to, like, you know, take anybody to church or anything like that, but what does it say in the Bible that happens to
preach, Joe, preach. Just kidding.
What happens to us? What does the Bible say happens to us when we die? We rest. We rest until the day of judgment. The whole book of Revelations, you know, the devil rise from their grave, ascend to heaven, and, you know, judgment and all that stuff. So how hard is it to believe that perhaps in between that time, somehow, some way, shape, or form, either we can't rest or our spirits are disturbed, and then poof, here we are, ghost, spirit, whatever.
Right. We have free will on this earth as well as the other side. Until we cross into that threshold, yeah, we could still do what we want to do. And that's the way it is. But, you know, there can be a lot of naysayers on a lot of different topics. You know, I mean, you're not always going to be able to convince or even, you know, have other people, you know,
I find them as motivation.
And that's right. And that's fine. You know, I mean, it is what it is. But you always just try to find like-minded people. You know what I mean? That, you know, you want to surround yourself with. And I think that you guys, you know, you and Joe and Helena and I saw, you know, watching that program and seeing the other people that were around you and this and that. The kid that was saying the prayers, what was his name?
Eric.
Yeah. He seems like a really knowledgeable kid, you know, and he seems to be like all in it and dedicated. Yeah.
Eric is 100% all in. You ain't changing his mind. He's head first.
Yep. Right. But the way, I mean, even the way he was, you know, conducting the Estes sessions, You know, I mean, he was professional and he, you know, was just, yeah, I don't know, he had that demeanor. And I guess that's the kind of people that you want to have around you, especially if you're in a haunted location that has a history like the Monroe House, you know? So, is there some place in the Monroe House that when you were there, let me ask you this, Matt, because you were there for 3 days, correct? Yeah. By yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there a certain place that you just kind of avoided?
No.
In that house?
The house isn't that big. I've been through all of it. It was 3 days, but as you can see, like only two things really happened during those 3 days that I would consider paranormal, because the rest were either too small to add or it wasn't big enough to add, because this, when it comes to the documentaries and everything, you want to grab the attention of a regular viewer, not just like, oh, look at this small noise we heard or this small little voice that we think it is.
Right.
But right. We're not 100%. So I'd like to get the best stuff inside the documentary, and also ones that I cannot say for 100. Like, if I have doubts on something, I usually throw it out. So, like, we captured a DVP through the DR-60. I don't like DR-60s, and Joe doesn't like DR-60s. But Eric is not a part of PRU, so he does his own thing. Like, he has his own style, his own thing, which is, but we liked inviting Eric because he brings that energy that he's really good. He's like a star. He's like one of those people that is good on camera. And also, he's a good, really nice guy, really good guy.
And when he walks into a room, you know it's Eric. You can see him a mile away. He stands out.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that's kind of what I got when I was watching that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. So he's I liked having him because he brings an energy to the location for sure. Actually, I think he's part of the big reasons why we maybe get more activity. Because if it's just Joe and I, for example, it's going to be dead.
Because we already know the outcome.
Yeah, because Joe and I are very calm
about
this stuff, very calm-minded and analytical and scientific-minded. That's, I would say, through my experience of investigating with multiple different groups, I would say, as in capturing evidence, I don't think that's the best mindset. It's interesting. I think psychology has to do more with the paranormal than people think. So,
Right. As a whole, talking about the Monroe House, you would investigate it again, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah. I would love to go back and investigate.
Or do you think that it's... I mean, have you ever been to like a place when it's saying, okay, I could check that off my list, I don't have any need to go back to it?
No. I think the paranormal is... There's always more to learn from the paranormal and have more experiences. And there's still one mystery about the location that we don't know 100% about. Maybe we'll revisit it on our TV show in the future.
Yeah, you know,
that would be cool.
I would definitely, I'll always go back to the Monroe House. And it's not just because it is the Monroe House, it's the people who own it. Pam and Eddie, great people, love them. They're absolutely amazing people. Right. And, you know, am I in a hurry to go back? No. I mean, I spent a lot of time there. I've investigated that place like crazy, but absolutely, I'll go back.
Oh, yeah. Another thing is that if we do go back, it'll be in episode form. I don't like rehashing documentaries at the same location, same stories and stuff. I like doing a full new story. As an artist, I like having something new. So,
something fresh.
Yeah. But we were recently just talking, and we're thinking about maybe getting into the TV show stuff now, pretty soon. But after this third documentary we're doing, you have a third documentary,
right?
And then
is there anything that you want to talk about that? I mean, is there something that you just
it's under wraps. for the third one.
Okay.
Just follow our YouTube pages.
Your raps. So
there are stuff and things going on, but
yeah, the reason why we don't say these things is because we've had ideas taken before. So
I ran into that too. So yep, I get it.
So I don't
my projects as well. Yep.
Yeah, because possibly Nick Groff was one of the people that gave a friend of his an idea, because Eddie told me that he told Nick Groff like the Man vs. Paranormal thing I was doing, and then not even like about 6 months, 7 months later after they were there, Johnny Hauser Versus comes out on his streaming platform where he's there by himself and stuff like that. He kind of did it in a live stream format, but it was pretty similar. And so I was like, very suspicious that the guy that told his program. Yeah. And so
there is no coincidences. Come on, guys. You know,
but I'm not saying it's 100% or anything. So don't go like, Nick Groff, look at this. I'm just saying like, it's
I'm going to post it and tag Nick in it.
Yeah, it's just a little sus. So I don't know.
So yeah. All right. Well, folks, I mean, this has been a blast. I mean, I'm at the top of my hour almost, and I can't tell you that I'm appreciative of you guys coming on and talking with me. And you know, I want to be able to share out this documentary on Amazon, and I will definitely give it a review. I've watched it, and I will review it when I go back into my Amazon account. And I will definitely be sharing this out with other people. I have some other friends of mine that haven't heard of it, and they will. And I have a couple friends in Chicago here that haven't heard of it yet, but they will. So I definitely want to be able to get the word out. So before we go, I want you all to kind of just give me a little bit of a synopsis of you know, where people can find you, who you're with, and what you're doing, and what your some of your future plans are. So, Joe, you go first.
Just go to the YouTube channel, N87 Paranormal. I'm not much of a Facebook guy or anything like that, so just go there, check that out there. Okay. Matt, go ahead.
So the biggest one is the YouTube channel, Paranormal Research Unit, and that's with the whole team and everything. And then my other one that I use a lot is my Instagram, Real Matt Benton, at Real Matt Benton. So those are my two main ones. And then I'm trying to use X some more, so that one's just at Matt Benton. I'm trying to use that more, so if you guys want to follow me on there too. And then I would say keep an eye out. Oh, yeah, you can follow the Evil on Earth Facebook page. Evil on Earth Facebook page if you want more information on the film. Right now it's currently on Amazon Prime Video. Mm-hmm. Prime Video. You can go watch Evil on Earth right now. Recommend buying it because it helps out, you know, the filmmakers instead of just renting it. It helps us out a lot. And please leave a review also. One other thing I wanted to ask you after Helena is it actually you can answer then Helena. What out of 10 would you give it?
I would give it a 9. Actually, awesome. I wouldn't give it a 10 just because I don't really give total 10 scores. I mean, I would have to give it a 9 just because of the fact that there were parts in it that really made me uncomfortable. And
good.
That's just me being who I am. It takes a lot, and so that for you to do that, I mean, that's great. But I think that for the whole aspect of it,
it's funny. It's actually a compliment.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get it, but it's just there's just something about it that it just it unsettled me. Like I said, it physically gave me a headache, and but I think that other people are really gonna be able to see the work that you do and how you do it, the way you put together your documentary. And I am truly an admirer of that, because I've been trying to get my own documentaries going. But just because, like, you talked about before when you first started, it's about funding and you don't have the right equipment and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It costs money to travel. It costs money to do this. You know what I mean? So I get that aspect, but I really did enjoy the way you processed the whole documentary, and the shots that you got were great. And, you know, so yeah, I think that people are really going to like it. And I will be sharing it out and making sure that people know it. And I give my honest review. I'll give it a 9. I wasn't going to say, oh, I'll give it a 2. No, I'm not. I won't do that.
When you compare it to other documentaries, do you think it feels separated from
the rest? It's legit. No, it's legit.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I was just curious.
Yep.
I was just curious what your view was. I've watched a lot of different documentaries.
And what I think that you have going for you, because you narrated it, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
It's your voice that actually sets that tone for that whole movie or for that whole documentary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people. Yeah, there's a lot of people that have that voice that can do a documentary, but that it's your voice and it's you in that documentary. That's what makes it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
If you had somebody else do it, you know, let's say you had Joe do it. You think that would
I can't stand my own voice.
So yeah, but that's where it makes it, is your voice and your narrating, and you know what I mean?
Okay. Thank you.
So yeah. So it, you know, keep doing that and I think you're golden on whatever.
Awesome. I just like getting feedback for future documentaries, mm-hmm. but thank you.
Yeah.
All
right, well, we saved the best for last. It's Helena's turn.
Yep. Helena. Yep.
This one in the documentary.
Oh my gosh. So wait, what am I supposed to say?
Sorry.
Your
socials.
No, you can just say you can find you and what you get.
Well, yeah. So you can find me on Instagram, Helena Benton, and also Hauntingly Beautiful Adventures. I also have a YouTube channel, Hauntingly Beautiful Adventures. That's my paranormal stuff. I also have a second channel for true crime. It's still fresh, new channel. I'm starting it, you know. I only have 2 videos at the moment. So, yeah, if you like true crime, Hellbent with 1 L.
Because it goes with her name.
Yeah, Helena Benton, Hellbent. And yeah. I think that's it.
I want to thank you guys again. This has been a lot of fun, and I've got a lot of, you know, great insight from all 3 of you on the Monroe House. So people, if you haven't heard, and this will be up, I mean, people will be listening to this on iHeartRadio and Spotify and everywhere else you get your podcast. So go check out Evil Unearthed on Amazon. Leave a review.
Yep, it'll be released in other places later, but as of right now, it's on Prime.
Right. So, if you're listening to this, then yeah, please check out that documentary. Matt Benton, Helena Benton, and Joe Vitale. If you're into the paranormal, if you're into documentaries, this is right up your alley. So, I want you guys to check it out. And you can also follow me on YouTube on Encompass Media, as well as Facebook. You can find me on JD.Hill on Facebook and on TikTok as well, J Paranormal, Encompass Media, and same on Instagram. Yeah, I'm kind of everywhere, so I try to, you know, let everybody know. But yeah. So that's it, everybody. And I want to thank you again for showing up. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. We had quite a few guests on our chat. And I wasn't able to actually post all of them. But you have a lot of love in the room, you know. So
I want to thank you. Awesome people.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So having said that... I am going to let you know that I will be on next week with another episode of Paranormal Memoirs and another Paranormal Saloon. So check that out, and I will see you guys then.